I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm Laura Correnti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia. We don't know what episode we're on.
I think it's three, 2018.
Three into 2018.
I'm so proud of Alexa for coming into the studio today.
I'm so sick, you guys.
She's like, you know, the pink, you know, of Adlandia from the Star Spangled Banner at the Super Bowl.
What?
Pink. She had the flu. At least you're not spitting lozenges out.
You know what? During the Super Bowl, guess what I was doing? Sleeping.
Okay.
I was asleep. And you know what's three for three? I'm sick three times in 2018 already.
Well, hopefully this is the end of
it. I blame it on you.
Many people say that I'm contagious, so take that as you will. But that said, 2018, we are kicking it off. So much change is happening in the industry that we will be opening up the IAB annual leadership meeting out in Palm Desert, California
next week. The 11th through the 13th. If you haven't already booked your ticket, book it.
Yes.
Come join us. I think that it's going to be a lot of really good conversations. And I think the IAB this year is doing something different than they've ever done. They're having a lot of kind of up and coming brands on stage talking about what it means to be a 21st century brand. And they're going to be the ones talking, while a lot of, I think, legacy brands are going to be also talking, but in the audience.
Participating, right. So we're excited to talk to brands like Glossier. We're going to see Away out there. Excited to see our girl, Rachel Tipograph, in action on stage.
Dropping knowledge.
With T-Mobile. So a lot of exciting conversations and mashups of different types of brands on stage. So it'll be definitely an interesting dialogue.
And they'll have people like Jet.com there. Unilever is going to be there. Hulu's going to be there. So a lot of like people representing the content space, the entertainment space, the software space, the ad tech space. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation, and we will bring it all back here and talk to you guys about what we learned and what we think are kind of some of the most interesting trends. But one thing I'm really impressed with is that Randall Rothenberg and the team over at IAB has done some killer research around not just what it takes to be a 21st century brand and the brand side of it and the consumer side of it and the branding and the marketing side of it, but really like what's the infrastructure that's underpinning this growth in direct to consumer brands. And it's a really, really interesting piece of research that they're going to be publishing at the IAB Leadership Forum. So
one of the big takeaways that we're learning is leadership, what it takes to obviously not just create a 21st century brand, but certainly run one.
But be a leader of be a leader of the 21st
century.
Yeah.
Right.
A visionary that I think brings people up. There's some really awesome quotes from our next guest, Ross Martin, who's CEO and founder of Blackbird, really a new consultancy out on the field, who is combining kind of harvesting and maturing leadership, like people. Right. And companies, and thinking about new ways that established companies change the way they create
and show up in market.
And the way they show up in market, right. And how do they create more meaningful ties to their consumers and maybe even open up new verticals that they can play in. So interesting conversation. And I think that leadership is really at the center of it.
Yeah. And I think in 2018, with the rise of so many DTC brands, like some of those we just rattled off, whether it's Glossier, Casper, Away, all of your fan favorites in the podcasting space, so to speak, it'll be interesting to see how those who have had a tremendous trajectory challenging some of the legacy brands in some of the biggest categories react and adapt to sort of what the new leadership and business plan or model looks like in 2018 and beyond. So with that,
we're going to talk to CEO and founder of Blackbird, Ross Martin.
We'll be right back. And we're back in the studio with Ross Martin,
CEO and founder of Blackbird.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Ross. Thanks for coming.
I'm so psyched to be here. I've wanted to come here since you started this podcast.
I think we were talking about it at the beginning, and I said, would you come?
Yeah, I'm all about this. I'm like your biggest fan.
So, Ross, you have had kind of an amazing career, and I want to talk about Blackbird.
Sure.
But first, I want to talk about your background. Where did you start?
Well, I have the strangest background for someone who's in media. I don't even know how I got here.
I think we all feel that way.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
what did you want to be when you were growing up?
So I first wanted to be an elevator man.
Like in Manhattan?
Yeah. I never really knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I think that's why I've never in my life, besides my first job, never in my life had a job that anybody had before me. Like, I've never inherited a job description.
Interesting.
My first job was selling women's shoes. That's it. I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing.
Al
was
Bundy?
Bad. Yeah, it was Al Bundy.
No way.
But I was 16 years old. And I sucked. Like, I don't even think I sold more than 5 pairs in, like, an entire summer. But regardless, that was my first job. And every other job I had since then, it was a made-up job. And the thing is, I went to school for poetry. So it's
is
like...
Is that where Blackbird came from?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Alexa and I were
talking about
that.
And now he's going to tell us the story because it's damn good.
Look, there are, like, 5 origin stories for the name Blackbird. So the obvious one that everyone who's, you know, read any poetry before will always say is 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird, the poem by Wallace Stevens. And there's an incredible first stanza for that poem, which, just so I don't get it wrong.
And are you going to freestyle
blow
right
it,
now?
I'm not going to freestyle.
Well, he just pulled out his phone.
No, I'm not. What the hell?
So the first stanza is 3 lines, right?
Cam, drop a beat on this.
Yeah.
Among 20 snowy mountains, the only moving thing was the eye of the blackbird. And so what I love about that stanza is, in 3 lines, Stevens goes from this huge, wide establishing shot of 20 snowy mountains where your camera, your eye is so far back to be able to take all of that in, right? And then not even 2 lines later, he's all the way in on the single eye of a single blackbird on a single snowy mountain. And the idea that you could move from one perspective all the way down just to that little eye and be so specific or atomic is really a pretty big driving force behind Blackbird and what we're trying to do.
Like, I get it immediately.
I love
that. That's it.
You think a lot like an artist or filmmaker, and you have a little bit of background in the entertainment world. I mean, that's where you really started.
Yeah, connect
after
us.
The shoes. I want to talk. Yeah. Right,
I was going to go, how do we get from Elevator Man to Blackbird?
Well, I went
to Spike Lee.
Yeah, so I went to poetry school, and I went to Wash U in St. Louis, and there were 5. Did anyone even know that you could go to graduate school for poetry?
Yes.
You could do that. Mean, you guys know.
I do now.
So I was the only one that wasn't on scholarship, right? And I had to work in a bar, like, and I was getting everybody else drunk while I was working behind the bar.
It doesn't sound so bad.
It wasn't
that bad.
Or
worked at a bar, too.
But the idea of taking 5 poetry classes at the graduate level every semester for 2 years drove me nuts. So I was looking for an easy way out, and I took a screenwriting class. And I wrote a screenplay that was really shitty, but it was like the best one that year. So I won like the $100 prize from the school. And my professor, who's a producer, said, you should do this for a living. Like, you can be a screenwriter. I want to introduce you to Spike Lee. And so he did.
That's amazing.
And I met Spike, and he invited me to come work for the summer. I read about 500 scripts. And then after grad school, I returned and I was his story editor. My job was to find projects for Spike to produce or direct that the rest of the Hollywood system was not seeing, not betting on.
This is like the blacklist before the blacklist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. And Spike's, you know, he's an amazing champion of talent and voices that just otherwise would never get heard. He doesn't get credit for that because he's so loud, but he does a lot of work behind the scenes. And I got to do a lot of that work at a really young age.
It's awesome.
And I should tell you that, just so nobody thinks I have good taste at all, the first script I read for Spike, I completely rejected. In fact, I fell asleep in the middle. It was a boxing movie. I fell asleep in the middle of the fight scene as I was reading it. And I was like, this is horrible. And I told him, don't even read it. I'll pass. So I passed to the agent. And then the movie got made with Russell Crowe, Cinderella Man, Academy Award.
That's amazing.
Produced by my now friend, Brian Grazer. But anyway, it was a great first real job in the industry. And reading, you know, having the kind of access to Spike and his community was just outstanding.
So how do you take that and start applying it to what you did at Viacom and now starting your own thing at Blackbird?
Right. So look, I don't think you work for a company. I think you work for people. And, you know, I wanted to work for Spike because he's a visionary and he's so human. He makes gigantic, successful films and also big mistakes. And in every movie, he has triumphs and he has, you know, just big errors that just make part of the movie suck. And I loved that.
Well, you talk a lot about leadership.
I do.
You put a lot of color behind leadership. Like, what is a good leader? You've been doing that for a long time. Yeah. You know,
I just believe culture is everything. You had Linda Yaccarino recently on the podcast, and she talked about it. She talked about, like, over the last 5 years, what's made the difference for her organization. And she talks about leadership and culture. Mm-hmm. And she's right. And you walk into any company today, you know, in 30 seconds if they've got it or if they don't.
You totally. Can feel it. You can smell it. You can taste it. Yeah.
It's, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you started Blackbird.
Yeah. So when I left Viacom last summer, I started two different things at the same time, probably out of fear of failure. But one of them is Blackbird, which is a brand strategy and business innovation firm. And the other is Lunch Partners, which is a venture capital fund. So two very different things. And why anybody thinks that a poet should be running a venture capital fund, I have no idea why anyone agrees to that. But it has happened. We are underway. And that is a super exciting element of my daily life.
And it's is it connected to Blackbird or is it totally separate from Blackbird?
They're not connected, but they end up being symbiotic. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned so much about early stage startup companies in all different industries from Lunch Partners. I mean, in the first 2 months, we looked at 75 deals. And the kind of people you meet are just sort of outside my everyday sphere. I know a lot of people. I didn't know jack shit about that world. And the people we are meeting and learning from are extraordinary. And they're the next generation of great business leaders.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. We've had Pierce Fox on here from PSFK, who was a writer.
Yeah.
We've had you, who's a poet. We talked with Sarah Fisher last episode,
amazing,
who took sales skills and translated into journalism. I think we're really starting to see this sort of transient, fluid thing happening in our industry where people are taking their skill sets and fueling them into passions. And it's really fascinating to see you take the commercial side, but then also what I assume the business of Blackbird being your passion.
So that's exactly right, Laura. And I feel like once you get what you're great at and you understand kind of what you suck at, you can do anything with that now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at Piers. I mean, he's a massive success story. You know, Sarah at Axios is someone you would say, like, well, if you look at her career, her trajectory, you would never put her in the position she's in right now, right?
Yep.
And yet she's massively successful and influential.
Yep.
And when she was on your podcast, she did feel like a force in the industry.
She is.
She is.
Totally. So I feel like once you know your true north, once you understand your purpose and your identity and you get your values down, like, you can do whatever you want with that. And that is exactly what Blackbird's doing for big businesses.
Yes.
And little businesses. But most of them have never been forced to ask those existential questions about themselves. And all of a sudden, because of the forces in every industry, they have no choice but to ask those questions, right? Why does my brand even exist? And I mean, you guys are struggling with those questions every single episode.
Yeah.
And you can really tell who's thought about it and who has not. And I listened to some of your guests. I've listened to every episode. And some have really thought about these issues. And others just seem to have avoided them.
It's interesting.
Do you think it's a sign of the times that people and brands and companies are starting to think like this? Or do you think there are other, you know, kind of forcing functions that are happening that we don't see?
Look, I think that I make a distinction. Blackbird has been very successful in its first 8 months, making the distinction between operating systems and belief systems.
Yeah.
Which do you gravitate toward?
You cannot have one without the other.
Interesting.
To run a successful business today, where you may have multiple operating systems, as most of my clients do, to do that effectively without a belief system is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
And I learned that from Seth Farbman, who's the CMO of Spotify. And he was at Gap and he did.
Yep.
Look, Seth's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And when I was at Viacom and we had my last 3 years there were really chaotic and confusing. And what we needed was true north and an understanding of who we were as a company. Thousands and thousands of people who needed to understand, even if it wasn't communicated externally yet, what Viacom was about and what it stood for and what you were a part of and why these brands are all in the same portfolio. And Seth really gave me the language to understand how to go about doing that.
What is it?
the idea of a belief system, which, you know, to some people just sounds fancy, like a fancy word for brand architecture.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, we all do positioning. Sure. But the more I thought about what Seth was challenging me to do at Viacom, the more we began the hard work of the methodology itself and trying to understand how do you surface the key insights and derive or distill from them the brand idea that is irrefutable and that is four things: big, simple, useful, and true. Mm. If it's not all four, it won't be successful. And we've gone to work doing that. We've done 10 belief systems in the last 8 months at Blackbird. And they're accompanied by the question that comes right after, which is, well, now that we know who we are, what do we do with that?
Right,
which exactly. You and I
land
about.
The plane. Yeah.
How do you land the plane? And that's all about execution and about living your brand. And
such an interesting skill set, though, because it's most people have one or the other. And I think what makes certain people special, and Beth Comstock talked about this a lot, is like being able to see the whole field and then very Blackbird pointed. Yeah.
Build
at the
plane
eye,
and land the plane.
Yeah, and Beth and Linda have been, you know, masterful at that. And both have taught me quite a bit about this. You know, I think you asked about context, like, why does this matter now? I had a gut feeling that this would matter in the world, and I went on that and bet on myself and my team to launch Blackbird.
You know, two of my favorite people sat down to collide worlds, two of my favorite worlds, politics and hip-hop. So Van Jones, who Alex and I are obsessed with,
obsessed.
Launched a new show. Van
it's great.
Jones
the Jay-Z episode's fantastic.
So he sat down with Jay-Z, and one of the things that I pulled out of it that gets the heart of what you're talking about is the difference between a job and purpose. And
totally.
they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is what a lot of the entrepreneurs in our business are finding. You know, you talked about Sarah Fisher. It's like, what are you really good at? Go chase that down.
The problem is, though, that I think it gets really foofy really quickly and kind of ephemeral. And people are like, purpose and values. Like,
it's
oh, that's
soft.
Yeah,
it sounds soft and gushy.
Soft. And it sounds like an HR exercise.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. You know, and for some people, that's all it will ever be.
Yep.
But not for Jay-Z. And the thing about Jay is the prototypical business leader of today and tomorrow. He doesn't have a job. He has a portfolio career.
Yep.
I don't believe, as I look at you two, that in the next 3 years from now, I don't think either one of you will have a job. I think you'll have five. Right? I think you're going to have a portfolio career. And I think that portfolio career is going to express your purpose, your values, and your capability. And it's going to be how you live your brand in the world.
Hello. This actually is exactly the architecture for brands as well.
Totally.
So that's the thing. And I want to ask, before we go there, I want to ask one question. Everyone talks about brands finding their purpose now, right? I actually am convinced that there are going to be brands that can't. Find their purpose.
Yeah.
And then will effectively disappear.
Well, if you don't find it, it's very obvious what happens is that top line growth doesn't happen. And, you know, you look at the financial engineering that's going on and the short-termism that you guys talk about frequently on Atlandia. And, you know, that's what happens when you don't know who you are.
Are you working with big public brands?
Yes.
And they're receiving this message from Blackbird and they're embracing it?
We're not calling them. They're calling us. And I don't mean to say that in any kind of egotistical way. I mean that there is a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And we are called by boards. We are called by CEOs. And we're called by CMOs. And when that phone rings, it's, you know, it may not start out with a question about purpose and identity. It may not start out with I heard you do belief systems and belief system playbooks that will transform my business. It doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
It usually starts with a problem with our product. There's something wrong with our marketing.
Yeah.
We need to be direct to consumer.
Yeah.
Right? One of those kinds of things, right? And you get about 7 minutes in and it's very clear what's going on.
Are you working on executive kind of image stuff as well? I mean, does that become part of this?
We just started what's called Blackbird Leaders.
Yes.
And that's because I just believe in betting on people. Like, that's everything. And it became very clear to us that doing the kind of work that we do with big companies and medium and small companies, but doing the work we do on brand strategy and belief systems, that's the same kind of work that tomorrow's leaders are beginning to do on themselves today.
Yeah.
And that's a remarkable place to get invited into. When someone trusts you enough to say, hey, listen, I want to make a bet on myself, and I think you can help me be better. I think you can help me realize what I'm meant to do. You brought up Jay-Z before. May I be so bold? I think we're kind of copying Jay-Z here, except as Jay-Z is signing athletes to Roc Nation,
right?
We are signing business athletes.
I love that.
The superstars of tomorrow. We're signing them now.
I've always wanted to be Ari Gold in my next life, so we should talk about this in a mic.
So we're developing. We've already signed our first two. We are developing their talent. We are supporting them. We are positioning them.
Hello, that was an exclusive, right?
It was.
You heard
Blackbird Leaders. Hashtag Blackbird Leaders.
I think it's interesting when you start talking about where people are betting on or recruiting from in the world of athletes and sport, right? It's very easy to wrap your head around that in terms of placing bets to pull in your quarterback, right? You know what you need. Why is business in the world we're playing in any different?
Yeah. Totally. Just like you're talking about with brands, there are leaders and people who are out there in the sunshine but aren't really doing those things.
Doing the work.
Oh, yeah. So those people have already approached us and we say no.
And how do you vet
how do you,
these
yeah.
people?
You know who they are.
These
are the people who are the CMO of themselves.
How do you do Blackbird Leaders in a meaningful way so that you are truly making it about someone who has the talent,
right,
to get on the court and lead a freaking team and actually grow the next generation?
Well, it's interesting, Alexa. So as you were speaking, and the audience can't see this, but I'll paint the picture. You were making a triangle with the tips of your fingers together. You were going like this with your hands. And that is what I would say I used to be that. I used to be someone who felt that there's only room for one at the top and that I was going to have to beat a lot of people to get to a position of authority and to feel like I've achieved anything. And then, you know, I sort of learned to open it up the other way, right? Mm. To say, like, actually, I'm more successful the more open I am. Actually, the more people I can support and empower, the more powerful I will feel and the more rewarded I will be. And I think that's what Blackbird Leaders is all about. It's about turning the triangle upside down or inverting it, opening up, and understanding that your job when you become successful is to create opportunities for other people to grow.
Yeah.
Not to try to beat anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not competing. I'm competing with myself.
Yeah. Yes.
Every day I'm 100%. Competing with myself.
If I could give a sports analogy, right? So it's interesting, Steph Curry and the Warriors, right? And nobody thought, or at least I didn't, that Kevin Durant would go to play with
totally.
The Warriors, right?
Yeah.
Because he's an appointed leader.
Yeah.
He's kind of the tip of the spear.
That's right.
But when you, to your point, you stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking about the purpose and the vision is to win an NBA championship.
That's right.
Now you're comfortable playing number two.
Right.
Or side by side, you know.
Given the choice, do you want to win the MVP or do you want to win the championship?
That's right.
It's like,
that's right.
Blackbird Leaders bets on people who are going to win championships.
That's the name of the show.
Love that.
What types of clients are you working with?
So it began with media, like the first month, phone calls from media companies going like, we really could use
like
some
publishers,
support.
Networks.
No, mostly networks and social media companies as well. But thankfully, because I've spent really long time in that part of business, we've diversified quite a bit. So we're working with a huge PR firm. We're working with an architecture firm. We're working in higher education. And we're working with an energy company.
That's very cool.
Those are all, you know, so different from one another that, as we were talking about earlier, today after I leave here, I'm working with five different clients the rest of today. And if that doesn't keep you fresh on your toes and excited, I don't know what does.
Right. Sure.
Every half hour is going to be different for the rest of the day.
So people, they're calling you because it's a differentiated offering in the market, right? You're talking about brand strategy, which is something that has traditionally sat within creative agencies.
I think if Boston Consulting Group and IDEO had a baby, it would look a little bit like Blackbird.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's nobody really doing it the way we do it. What I would say is most of our clients need support finding the best way to express their power and their potential internally and externally. They're having some things in the way and they need to clear it out. Or they've reached an inflection point and step change is right there. They see it. They need help getting there. But this is really about business impact.
Yeah.
And what we do is not foofy. It's like real change, and we're putting real points on the board.
You're also allowing brands to go back to the way earlier point, right? You're letting brands completely diversify what they do and probably how they do it.
That's right. I think that's kind of been my career, especially at Viacom.
So this is new products. This is thinking about IP in a different way. This is thinking about, right, all of those things.
If you know who you are, you know very quickly what you could become.
I love that.
So do you see yourself getting into the execution game or just super high level right now, kind of building out the operational?
We're in the execution game a little bit. I did make a pledge to myself when we launched Blackbird to not make anything. I've already broken that a couple of times. We've made some stuff for people. But one of our investors is an awesome production company in Los Angeles, one of the best creative shops I've ever worked with. They're called Stun Creative. And Stun makes a lot of stuff for our clients. Cool. So it's great to have access to them. And when we decided to take on investment, when you're a services business like Blackbird, you don't normally take on any kind of investment. You don't really need to. We wanted to because the two strategic investors in our company offer us a way to sort of differentiate our offering and just really make us unique, right?
Can you talk about that? Because it's something that people have asked us about on the show, but our listeners have asked us about the VC world in particular. And as a services business, can you talk about how did you pitch yourself in that regard? And then some people that we've met talk about the advisors you bring on should not just be people that then give you your money and go away. They should actually be able to help you grow and build your business.
Right. So I can answer it personally. I'm not a good example because, to be honest, we didn't go out and pitch Blackbird. Two companies came to us and said, "You're a fucking moron for not starting this. What are you waiting for?" And sometimes I think it takes that kind of pressure from people who know what you can do. Because something inside me was just not starting. And, they de-risked the launch of Blackbird for me. But when it comes to investing, you know, I'm astounded by the variety in the quality of pitches that we get for the VC fund for launch partners. I mean, we have seen the most complex, compelling presentations that, you know, just don't have any heart.
Yeah.
On paper, you know, I think the bankers would go, fuck yeah, let's put our money on that. My group of LPs would not.
So you're in it for the heart and the hustle.
Well, yet the opposite is also true, right? So we see some entrepreneurs that have come at us that are all heart, right? And they clearly don't have the operational chops to grow the business the way it really deserves.
Yeah.
So, you know, an RLP group is very unique. It's everyone who's in this group with me is a CMO or a CEO. So they are all leaders, most of them big name people who are killing it in their companies and are investing as a group with launch partners so that they can take advantage of pattern recognition through deal flow, that they can have a mechanism for doing diligence in the companies that they're going to invest in, and that they can activate both their network and their skill sets, as you're sort of alluding to, Laura, to put what they're great at to work for the companies that we invest in.
Sure.
Right? That's the thing about venture investing. If it's just your money, dumb money you could find anywhere. Dumb money's everywhere. But smart money that wants to work hard behind the cash, behind the capital to make your brand and business successful, that's the kind of investor that the entrepreneurs who seek us out want. So when entrepreneurs and other VCs come to us and invite us into a round, usually it's seed or early A, the hope is that we will not just feel that through diligence this is a smart bet, but that it's a heart bet too. Right? Yeah. That your heart is in it and that the LPs in our group believe in this entrepreneur and his or her team, believe in the brand and the vision and the business and want to go do things to make it successful. That's why our fund exists.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think also one thing I'm really proud of about the fund and Blackbird is that these are the two of the most diverse groups you will ever see. I mean, it is a group of, that was the most important thing about really reaching out to a group of limited partners for launch partners, was to say, like, we want a diversity of thought. We want a diversity of gender, race, ethnicity, background, age, and we got it. Mm. And that's the most exciting thing. So when a pitch comes to us, we can channel check across 5-6 different dimensions within 24 hours.
Smart.
And make a decision.
Yeah. Okay, what would you kill, Ross Martin? What would you kill? What would you buy? What would you do yourself?
Right now, I would totally kill a cheeseburger.
What's your favorite cheeseburger? Where's it from?
This is going to sound weird. It's in L.A.
Why is that weird?
It's In-N-Out
Burger? I'm a New Yorker. No, it's a place called Father's Office.
Oh, wait.
You've been there?
We've been there a million times.
Yeah, the great thing about it is you can't alter it. Like, it's just, you can't be like, no, I don't want any pickles
on it. It's
in
Santa Monica.
Like, yeah. So it is what it is, and you don't get a choice.
No, you don't
get
a choice.
There's something about that I really like.
It's always packed in there, man.
It's really hard to, I know you got to go at the off hour.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. What would you buy? Not a burger.
You know, I would buy more Amazon stock.
Yeah, well.
Is that such a bummer to say?
No, I mean, everyone's saying
it. I thought you were going to say us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to change it up.
Okay.
I would buy Atlantia. I would buy Atlantia to buy.
Good.
It's not for sale.
It's not for sale.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Okay, I would buy more real estate in Maine.
Oh,
because
do you have real
like
estate in Maine?
I do. I bought a house there last year, and I'm fixing it up. My wife is fixing it up.
Algonquin?
It's
that's
near.
That's like the place. Yeah.
And, but I think like with global warming, like that's going to be Miami. So
you're banking on it.
I'm banking on Maine is like the new Miami.
Are you building bunkers? I feel like that's
underground.
Yeah, I feel we're getting ready for that.
Stashing it with the world's greatest collection of poetry.
And cheeseburgers.
And cheeseburgers.
And leaders. All right, so what would you do yourself?
That you're not already
that
doing.
You're not already doing.
I mean, I really would DIY the next generation of great business leaders. That's what I want to build.
That's what you're doing.
And that's what.
Are you going to put Forbes out of business, 30 under 30? Like, is there going to be like a Blackbird 10?
It's a good question. No, I think I'll let them keep giving out the awards and the recognition, but I'll get people, you know, to the place where they're recognized for their achievements and their potential and where Forbes is calling them.
Yeah.
Imagine if you did an episode like at the end of the year and it's like the 10
people you
people
don't know.
You've never heard of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's actually called
Atlantia.
I mean, Atlantia has people that are notable, yes, but then you have people who maybe you haven't heard of, and most likely you haven't heard of.
Yeah. Before you go, what would be your advice to the next gen of who you hope to become Blackbird leaders who are out there today?
I'll give you my mom's and my dad's. Okay, so my mom woke me up every morning and said the same three words. Today's the day. Every morning. Now, to some people, that might seem annoying or burdensome. To me, it just sort of got me out of bed and I felt like I could do anything. And when your mom gives you that,
yeah,
you know, you can. So I want to give that to other people. And the other is the last two words that my dad said to me before he died. Be there. Hmm. And he meant it in every way possible. Be there for other people. Be there for opportunities and have the confidence to bet on yourself when it matters. And so those are my two things. And those two are the most important in informing my own system of belief. The idea that today's the day and you have to be there.
Knowing you for the last couple of years, I would say that those things are very true. You live that out.
Thank you.
You
so
live
much.
That out. Ross Martin, where can people find you?
At RossMartin1, or why don't you just email me, ross.martin@blackbirdglobal.com.
Ross Martin, we will be hearing a lot more from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ross.
Thank you, guys.
You know what I love about Ross Martin? You know what I love that he said? He basically was a shoe salesman when he was 16 years old and then never, ever had a job that anyone else ever had after that.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think I'm going to aspire to do that.
Are you a shoe salesman?
No, I already know. I think I've passed. I'm more on the consumer side.
I do love the idea that he talked about future leaders being overseers of portfolios. I think that's interesting. And I think it's something that, you know, so many people come up through high school and college and they go on to post-collegiate, you know, degrees and think about these linear
track
paths that they need to go down, and just start broadening and thinking through the vein of being an entrepreneur and ownership of your own portfolio is very interesting. That means my board of directors is only going to get bigger.
That's right. I agree. And I also think, like, at the end of the day, he said, you don't go, you know, basically work for a job, you go work for a leader, like you follow the leader.
Yeah.
And I think that's right. So with that,
big thanks to Ross Martin.
Cameron Drew is our producer. Thank you for getting me my tea this week and telling me I don't sound nasally. Love you, Cam.
Our friends and family at Panoply, thank you to Andy Bowers and Matt Turk.
If we don't see you in Palm Desert, we will be back in 2 weeks. Also, stay tuned because Adlandia events are coming your way.
Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.